Next item on the agenda, Catherine Rothman et al., number 16-0937. Ms. Peabody, good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Catherine Rothman and 10 of her waterfront property owners have applied and are requesting authorization to mechanically dredge approximately 659 cubic yards of material from state-owned submerged lands for the development of a total of 11 private boat basins adjacent to a city dredge channel and subsequent maintenance dredging to achieve a maximum depth of minus 3 feet at mean low water along a tributary to the Lafayette River parallel with Regent Road in the city of Norfolk. This project is protested by a nearby property owner. So this is along a tributary to the Lafayette River, which you can see just off of Granby Street. It is parallel with Regent Road. Here is an aerial view. So quite a few years back, the property owners in both the Regent Road tributary and the West Belvedere tributary contacted the city to come up with a plan to increase navigation to their waterways. As a result, the city are constructing a city channel adjacent to both Regent Road and West Belvedere. And the property owners got together to come up with one application per waterway to dredge boat basins or driveways that will connect their piers to the city channel. So this project specifically is for those driveways that are going to connect the private property piers to the city channel. So here is a plan view of the approved city channel, which is starting construction relatively soon. And I want to point out this area here, which is labeled as man-made area state bottom. So everything upstream, we have determined that in the 20s and 50s, this was originally vegetated marsh and was dredged to make a boat basin for this subdivision. And therefore, it's not state-owned submerged lands because it's a man-made water body. So the only portion of the project that we have jurisdiction over is below this line, which is down here. And so here is all of the proposed basins connecting to the city channel. It's hard to tell, but you can see this kind of bold yellow here. Those are each individual basin that is proposed to connect to the channel. I'll show you better drawings here next. But again, the state-owned submerged lands line is about here. So the only basins that we actually have jurisdiction or that we're exerting jurisdiction over are the five here. So here's a close-up of the five channels off Regent Road. And then R11 across the waterway of the other jurisdictional channel. And they are proposing to dredge a maximum of 3.5 feet at low tide. This will connect to the channel, which is 5 feet at low tide, and then 4 feet at the top. So we ran our public interest review. This project has been approved by the local wetlands board. In VIMS comments, the VIMS comments were sent to both the wetlands board and to the VMRC to encompass all the projects together, the wetlands impacts as well as the submerged lands impacts. And there were two keys to the VIMS comments. One, they reiterated the high ecological value provided by shallow water and non-vegetated wetland habitats. And they recommended a time of year restriction for the protection of oysters from June 1 through September 30th of any year. There is a mapped oyster reef at the mouth of the Regent Road Basin that has been mapped by NOAA and Chesapeake Bay Foundation and a group of oyster-focused groups. This project will not directly impact that reef at all. During the public interest review, we also received a protest from an adjacent property owner, Ms. Castle Craddock. In her list of concerns about the project, she has a perceived increase. She's concerned about increased flooding as a result of the project, pollution from additional boat traffic, increased noise pollution from additional boat traffic, a loss of wildlife habitat, habitat degradation concerns, and not being properly informed of the project. As a result of the VIMS comments and the public interest review, The city and the homeowners constructed a living shoreline to offset any of the ecological impacts associated with dredging. Some of you may be able to see this as you're passing over Granby Street. This shoreline was approved by the VMRC and has been constructed. It has a near shore, sandy, non-vegetated wetlands, vegetated wetlands, a sill, as well as an oyster reef that surrounds that sill. That was proposed to offset all of the basins and the city channels. So for summary of staff's recommendation, it is our opinion that the project is consistent with the VMRC's dredge operation guidelines. The project is water dependent, and the purpose is for access to navigable water at low tide. Currently, people can access their piers at high tide, but they would like to access at low tide as well. The applicants have agreed to adhere to the time of year restriction. There are no direct impacts to the mapped oyster reef at the mouth of the creek, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has approved the sediment contaminant analysis. So the sediment is going to be taken barge to Craney Island. As part of the Craney Island review, they review a sediment analysis, and they have found that there's no reason to believe that there's contaminants in this soil. Staff understands the concerns outlined by the protestant, but feels the applicant has addressed potential impacts to the marine resources by adhering to the recommended time of year restriction, complying with the local wetlands board mitigation requirements through the construction of the living shoreline, and by reducing the basin sizes to the smallest reasonable size. Navigation may be increased within the tributary as a result of the project, particularly during low tide, as navigation is not possible during low tide. However, most of these vessels are here at high tide. However, the size and the depth of the main channel greatly limits the size of the vessels that will be in and out of this tributary. In addition, staff has consistently communicated with the protestant throughout their view of this project. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205 and our sub-aqueous guidelines, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed with a royalty of $263.60 for dredging 659 cubic yards of material at 40 cents per cubic yard with the following conditions, and I will read these in summary for the record. We recommend a time of year restriction to adhere to a time of year restriction from June 1 through September 30th of any year. The permittee shall provide a post-dredging bathymetric survey of the dredged area within 30 days of completion. A pre-dredging conference shall be held on site prior to the commencement of the dredging. Maintenance dredging may be conducted through October 22, 2024, provided the permittee notifies the commission at least 15 days prior to the commencement of dredging. And the dredge material will be transported to by barge to Craney Island. If this location becomes unavailable, then the permittee will be responsible for finding an alternative placement area. And that's everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Questions? Ms. Everett?
Are the protest letters that are in our packet? Am I missing those?
They should be in your packet. If not, I'm happy to provide them. We have a single letter, and she also protested by phone and at the local wetlands board through the public review process.
Maybe I'm just missing mine.
No, I can go get a copy of the letter.
I do have one other question.
Ms. Everett.
BIM's letter says that the time of year restriction is relaxed, or maybe either way, but they say if it's relaxed, then dredging should occur in the incoming tides. But that's either or, I'm presuming, not.
So that was BIM's way of giving us a way to discuss. If the applicants wanted to get away from the time of year restriction, that was BIM's ability to allow us that conversation. The applicant has not, and particularly the dredge contractor, has said they do not plan to work within the time of year restriction. That's why we did not put that condition in there.
Okay. Well,
yes, ma'am. Ms. Everett.
You had said that there is no direct impact to the oyster reef. That's at the mouth of the creek. Does that mean there are indirect impacts? Is that sedimentation? Can you just elaborate on what you see as potential
direct
or indirect?
Sure. So when I say direct, that means will dredging actually take place in the mapped oyster reef? And these projects are specifically outside of that mapped area. There could be potential for some of the sediments to float down the waterway. That is why we have the time of year restriction, specifically for that sediment plume to not impact during the spawning season. Speaking with the dredge contractor, they're going to be using a bucket, and it's fairly shallow. So the fairly shallow in the entire waterway. So for the ability of the dredge sediment to plume in large plumes is probably not great in this instance.
Okay. By the way, I think we're going to get those letters now.
I agree.
Yep. Okay. Mr. Tankard?
So this is going to be mechanically dredged, as I understand?
Yes, sir.
And then my second question.
Mr. Tankard, yes, sir.
You mentioned here something I thought was curious. If the location of Craney Island becomes unavailable, how probable is that, and is there any other location to go to?
And the probability is low. They've already been approved for it. They've been given their permit for it. This is just a way of ensuring that if something were to happen, they need to contact us. There are other places that they could go. There's a few upland materials storage areas, so I wouldn't think it would be terribly difficult to find anywhere. But
yeah, it's plenty of room there. But what could happen? Is Craney Island have a temporary closure? Something gets dumped. Something happens there environmentally that they have to close it. Then that could be an issue. But
okay.
Haven't seen that happen in ever.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know of.
Yeah. I've never seen that.
I've never seen it mentioned. This
yep.
kind of language.
She's very thorough.
Just trying to be thorough.
There you go. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Peabody. Is the applicant present or represented? Are you also the applicant?
I'm Catherine
Rowe. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Okay, come forward. I'll swear you both in at the same time. Absolutely. Thank you. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. First, sir.
My name is Robert Simon. I'm the agent on this application. I've prepared it. Rachel's done a tremendous job presenting this. Just to clarify, we have been to the local wetlands board twice with this project and have been approved twice. We are over here because of the appeal of that. We have last week, Steve Gibson informed me he has issued our draft permits from the Corps of Engineers pending the approval of our CZM, which we will submit at the outcome of this hearing.
Uh-huh.
So we are through the entire permit process at the last point of it. The appeal or the objection now, as Rachel states, is for five of the basins that are up at the subaqueous end. The contractor has called me this morning. They are on site. They will commence dredge operations of the city portion of this project. So that channel is going to go through. That is underway now. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission may have.
Questions of the commission?
Son.
I just have one question.
Yes, sir. Mr. Tyler.
Yes,
so mechanical dredging.
Yes, sir.
And so it's pulled up by bucket, and then from there what happens?
Placed in a hopper barge.
A hopper barge.
Hopper barge will then take it over to Craney Island for dumping.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you. Ma'am, did you wish to address the commission?
Yes.
State your name for the record, please.
Catherine Rothman.
Ms. Rothman, thank you.
You can see by the number on the application, it's 2016. We've been through this for many years before. And anyway, there are two things that I'd like to possibly update. We agree with everything that Ms. Peabody is recommending, except for one item I would like to see changed. And that just makes common sense. And I don't know what the purpose is. But if you'll notice that there's an October maintenance dredging may be conducted through 2024. We don't fill up that fast, so you're not going to, that seems to require a new contract or a new application for us to do, which would be normally 10 years out. I mean, the city is doing 10 to 15 years for their maintenance cycle.
Okay.
You know, and that date is irrelevant.
Well, let's do this. Let's hear from my staff. Mr. Watkins, did you want to address that?
Yeah, I can.
Please, sir.
It's the commission's direction to staff, and from historically, that we issue maintenance dredging permits for a period of 5 years, but we do provide the opportunity to extend that for a second 5 years if need be, and then we could approve it if they want to do more dredging in that 5 to 10 year window. After 10 years, we usually look to review a new permit application for a project after that. So I think what we'd like to do is go with the 5 year period for maintenance dredging.
So what
and
you're
allow them to come in and request an extension.
So what you're saying is it's an environmental safeguard.
It is. It gives us a chance to look back at it, make sure things are okay after 5 years and nothing's really changed to allow it to continue again.
Okay. It makes sense because the 5 years, I mean, that's just nonsense. It's irrelevant. But in order for us to, we talk about normally 5 years, normally requesting an extension. Well, can that be put in writing? So at least that we know as a group, we're all not going to be here, you know, that the upon request by the applicant or whoever at all requests the maintenance for the extension of 5 years. In other words, you're saying normally, well, that doesn't, it's not concrete enough.
Well, the point is, we feel like after 5 years,
correct.
Things we need to relook at the circumstances in the creek. Is something changed or is mm-hmm. everything the same? If everything's the same, we could extend it. If things have changed and we think we need to adjust how things are done, we would come back and re-review it again after 5 years. So it's a bit of a safeguard for protection of the resources to have just a 5 years. So we would prefer to keep it that way. That's been the policy of the commission.
That was going to be my question.
For quite some time. And so that would be the reason for keeping it that way. It's 5 years because I don't think every project that gets a maintenance dredging always is 6 or 7 years out. Some want to redredge after 2 or 3, and that allows for a cycle within that 5 year window. But we think it's important to have that safeguard of a check for an extension.
We have a number, in other words, we have a number of marinas that I'm familiar with that go in and have to dredge every 2 years.
Yes, that's probably correct. Absolutely.
Okay. We just don't want to go through this whole process.
Ma'am, I understand.
I mean, it's well worth it intellectually.
One I've heard today.
Right. The oyster question. I've been informed by the city at that opening where you see the new wetlands, and that's all finished. They've also moved those ancient oysters to another oyster area just beyond the Granby Street Bridge. So there really is.
Yeah. Ms. Peabody? Of course, Ms. Everett can probably answer as good as any starting in the backyard.
So as part of the authorization for the city channel, when the first drawing came in, was going to directly impact that oyster reef. So we did two things. We asked them to move it to, with VIMS, we did a survey, found the lowest densities, and we moved the channel to the lowest density. And as part of their condition, they had to hire a waterman, and they had to move oysters out of the channel and 20 feet from either side and move them to a reef. So the portion of the city channel that was going to be impacted, those oysters have been moved and are no longer there.
You have a follow-up to that, Ms. Everett?
Yeah, could you pull up a map? It's interesting because I believe the waterman's been moving them this week.
He was last weekend.
But there's still the reef there.
The reef is still there. So, again, this was the city channel, so here is where the reef was. We moved this portion of the city channel to go to the area of lowest density of the reef. And knowing that there was some type of unknown amount of oysters in that area, we asked them to remove any oyster they could find in this particular area here. And they moved them over to a Chesapeake Bay Foundation reef. So again, that was just trying to make sure that there were no unintentional impacts to any of the oysters in that area.
Further questions? Thank you. Anyone else here in support of the project? Anyone here in opposition to this project? Yes, ma'am. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Could you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
You solemnly swear the testament you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please.
Castle Craddock.
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed.
All right. Commissioner and fellow commissioners, this is a position statement as pertains to Project 160937 in opposition to said proposed project. The purpose is stated in this. Quote, the purpose of this project is to perform maintenance dredging in order to provide recreational boat access from the properties located along the tributary to the Lafayette River. End of quote. Of the 12 participating riparian property owners, 9 impact non-vegetated tidal wetlands. This will impact 7,052 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands and approximately 14,566 square feet of subaqueous bottom for the total of 21,618 square feet. Maintenance. No dredging has occurred for the past 50 or 60 years in this area. Mitigation for non-vegetated impacts is construction of an oyster reef project at a cost of approximately $1.5 million to the city of Norfolk. My specific objections are as follows. Firstly, this project's main purpose is to dredge to allow for recreational use. This is an old middle-class neighborhood where usage is confined to a few small boats, kayaks, and canoes that only utilize this tributary for a few hours a week seasonally. I analyzed usage by observation. I would maintain that as a taxpayer, I can think of a more efficacious allocation of tax dollars than spending monies for recreational usage. There are far more urgent needs as pertain to sea rise and flooding in Norfolk. It is important to note that the City Council has passed a ruling to allow neighborhoods to raise their own taxes to fund flooding fixes. I am not at all sure this project could be justified to the taxpayers, of which I am one. Secondly, this project may exacerbate flooding in the area. Experts disagree as to the effects of dredging on flooding. My family has owned our property on this tributary for over 70 years, and excessive flooding was not an issue until after a bulkhead project in 2000 and 2001. I recently received in September this document from the City of Norfolk stating that we are in a repetitive flooding area. Thirdly, admissions may affect the quality of air, as I am sure this project would draw additional jet skiers who also may create wakes in a small area which may lead to erosion with additional bulkheading. Will there be a no-wake zone? A small area may have the same effect as a large area like the Elizabeth River Review section in Chesapeake. Fourthly, water quality may be affected. Again, experts disagree as to this, especially since there is a large storm drain opening into this tributary from Granby Street, a 6-lane highway. The contractor stated he did not need to test the sediment. However, I learned this morning from Ms. Peabody that she states that it is required that the sediment be tested. Fifthly, wildlife habitat will be affected. Some experts state the wildlife will leave this area. Sixthly, hydrology affected by such large removal of non-vegetated wetlands. Seventhly, noise pollution from additional watercraft that do not at this time navigate the tributary. Eighthly, loss of property value due to flooding and all of the above issues. No one can predict the exact outcome. Even the specialists and environmental scientists agree on that. The City of Norfolk has agreed climate changes will occur and are occurring as outlined in the Center for Climate Integrity Study, the Dewberry Study, and the cities are acting to prevent disastrous effects throughout Hampton Roads. Norfolk predicts 1 inch of flooding in a home will cost $25,000 to remediate. Who will pay if damages are done by said project or projects? In fact, it is rare that one does not read or see an article in print, video, or social media on a daily basis addressing these issues. One states in an editorial by an editor of the Virginia Pilot, quote, there is some fear that the public's voice may not be heard clearly, end of quote. And that brings me to my concluding remarks. This project began in 2016, yet I never received any notice or information concerning this project until March 2018, from the VMRC, Ms. Peabody in particular. I was never invited to participate in any neighborhood project meetings, although one of the applicants knew I had opposed a project in 1999 through 2001 and had prevailed to circuit court. The notice in the Virginian pilot appeared by wording to be one individual, et al., often being a designation of joint ownership of property in legal terminology. Also, not mentioning this project would include 12 applicants or landowners, including some on West Severn and West Arden, as well as Regent Road, made for confusion as a large loop of Regent Road faces another open area or tributary of the river towards Hampton Boulevard. It is my opinion that it should have been addressed more clearly with all applicants being listed. Also, I did not receive documents in a timely manner, often only one or two days before a meeting. Even the minutes for an appeal were received only a few days before the appeal in a parking lot of a library, as well as meeting and documents were picked up by me as late as August 9, 2019, on a Friday before the wetlands meeting the next Wednesday. Those documents were often incomplete or outdated. This particular document was dated June 2016. This necessitated constantly playing catch-up, so to speak, for every official meeting. Transparency in government on any level is vital to gain the confidence of the citizenry. It would appear to me that common courtesy, civility, and ethics do not prevail within the state and local governments of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And without the professionalism and ethics of Ms. Peabody, who contacted me at a late date in 2018, and began providing me and attempting to provide me throughout, even as late as after the meeting of August 14, 2019, did I receive the exact new changes of the project. They were mailed to the VMRC on August 12, one day before the meeting. So I would advise that these particular plans should be looked at under the final notice for the public of the public explanation of activity in the 100-year flood plan and wetland. There are three primary reasons for this notice. First, people who may be affected by the activities in floodplains and wetlands and those who have an interest in the protection of natural environment should be given an opportunity to express their concerns and provide information about these areas. Secondly, an adequate public notice program can be an important public educational tool. The dissemination of information and requests for public comment about floodplains and wetlands can facilitate and enhance federal efforts to reduce the risk and impacts associated with the occupancy and the modification of these special areas. Thirdly, as a matter of fairness, I repeat, fairness. When the federal government determines it will participate in actions taking place in floodplains and wetlands, it must inform those who may be put at a greater continued risk. I realize that these things do not apply to me, nor will help me, but for every applicant that comes next, these particular changes should be made within the Commonwealth. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Craddock. Any questions by members of the Commission for Ms. Craddock? Ms. Everett?
Thank you, Ms. Craddock, for your comments. Are you thinking that the flooding will be a result of increased boat traffic and increased boat wake, or can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
And also because of we don't know what is going to change as far as eliminating some of the, you know, wetland, non-vegetated and other wetlands. Right now it's beautifully sort of protected by the wetlands and by these areas that go in and out. And I assume once they start changing this, there will be an increase of flooding as there was after storms. Now, we have flooding goes all the way into West Severn Street, maybe a foot of water. And so it all depends how the project is done, you know, and where they're going to stop it. I understand they're stopping it in certain areas. It's a very narrow, small finger or tributary. So it'll be sort of have to wait and see idea.
At some point, I'm finished with this.
Okay.
At some point, I'd love to ask a question of them if it's appropriate time.
Yeah, sure. Mr. Tankard?
Thank you for your testimony. You're very eloquent, I have to say.
Thank you.
And so you've been here, you mentioned seven, or your family 7 years, you've never seen this area dredged. Is that correct? Is that what you stated?
It has not been dredged, and I even went back in the records for approximately 60 years.
60 years.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up, Mr. Tanker?
Question. And so you mentioned Mrs. Peabody and her professionalism, so you feel as though she's done a good job in relaying the information from our commission to you as a citizen.
Superior job. In fact, I wouldn't have known this project existed if she had notified me in March, early March of 2018. I just can't commend her more than I can think of. Otherwise, I guess I would have known about it when the barges and the dredge showed up in my backyard. And my whole backyard is on the river.
Well, thank you. I'm certainly glad to hear that. I think, as you mentioned, transparency is very important with regard to government's interactions with its citizens.
Further questions? Ms. Craddock, I had one, and maybe I misunderstood, but I just want to make sure I'm clear. When you mentioned that it came out as Rothman et al., which is on here, you indicated that you wish you had known, if I understand correctly, what the other applicants, who the other applicants were.
Yes, there are probably 12 applicants, all on West Arden, West Severn, and Regent Road.
Okay.
And it's a loop. Regent Road is a loop, so it could be in the far away. So the way putting it in the paper is sort of like you and I could own a property together and two or three other people, and we would list it as Bowman et al. And so it appeared to me to be a property owned by multiple property owners on that one site.
Okay.
And it also appeared that it would be Regent Road only. It didn't appear that it was such a large project with 11 or 12 applicants, nor did it state that it would be on our side on West Severn and West Arden. Never did that come out in the local paper.
So the names that were involved were irrelevant. What was really important were the properties that were involved.
Yes, and you know, they should have listed. I mean, I haven't seen that done before. You know, where the property wasn't owned by multiple people. You know, in real estate, you have et al. Used
yes,
as a Latin term.
Yes, ma'am.
And by doing it this way was sort of hiding the complexity and the enormous project that was going to take place in 2 years.
Okay.
And I think that's very unfair to the public.
I understand. Further questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Ballard. Go ahead. Sorry.
If I'm reading this right, is the dredging plan going right in front of your bulkhead to access another property?
No, my property is at the end. The bulkhead is to my left if you are facing the rear of my property.
Okay.
And the storm drain is to the right of my property.
Okay.
Further questions? Mr. Tanker.
So let me make sure I also understand. You believe, in fact, that this will be a decrease in the value of your property. Would
yes.
you elaborate on why you believe that?
Well, right now with the city just publishing that we're in an A zone and a repetitive flood area, and if it does continue to flood, when adding all of this, you know, new changes that are to come up, then the property would probably decrease in value in that it's a middle-class neighborhood. This is not a high-end affluent neighborhood.
Thank you.
And I did have one other note. You mentioned no-wake zones. We do not have jurisdiction over no-wake zones. The city can apply through the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries who handles that, but we do not handle no-wake zones. Just
thank you.
To clarify. Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Any further? Thank you, ma'am. Is anyone else here in opposition to the project? Thank you. As a matter of clarity, Vims, what question did you have for Dr. Luckenbach?
So two questions, if that would be okay.
You've been previously sworn. Can you state your name
yes.
for the record, please?
Mark Luckenbach.
Thank you.
The first question is, in the letter, it refers to how the Commonwealth does not require mitigation for dredging of non-vegetated wetlands. The applicant's currently working with the Army Corps to pursue options for mitigation, but we welcome the opportunity to comment or collaborate on those options at appropriate time. I guess could you just elaborate a little bit on how this intersects with kind of what's
right, right. So the Corps has, in a number of these man-made canals that you don't have jurisdiction over, had questions sometimes that either they or sometimes it's Fish and Wildlife Service or EPA commenting on theirs about the resources, particularly often in the non-vegetated wetlands. We haven't intervened on those unless the Corps or Fish and Wildlife or EPA, who all comment on the projects, have asked. And to my knowledge, we have not received any such request from the Corps on these. And in terms of the part that's in your jurisdiction, we really were much more with the city channel concerned and focused on the potential direct impacts on the oysters, and they followed our recommendations there. So we don't have any other things to offer right now in terms of mitigation for the subaqueous. We've never been asked to do that. And occasionally in some of these dead-end canals, man-made canals, where there's some extensive intertidal flats, unvegetated, we've been asked to go in and evaluate the nature of the benthic community so they can set mitigation ratios. They haven't asked in this case. That may well be, and typically Fish and Wildlife will hold their feet to the fire. If Fish and Wildlife isn't convinced, that's just a soupy, goopy mud without much benthos in it. So.
Okay.
That's it. Follow up, Ms. Everett.
And so, with regards to those non-vegetatory wetlands, is there in VIM studies that you might be aware of some kind of benefit to flooding, absorption of floodwaters that you know? Obviously, for tidal wetlands, vegetated wetlands, no, it would be, but I'm just curious why Mrs. Prattle.
Right. I think she was correct in saying that there's uncertainty around that. What we've done, in something like this, it, because you deepen it, the issue is the little driveway ones plus also the city channel. It has the potential, if the major source of flooding is high tides but with a lot of rain, to provide a better conveyance of the stormwater if it's deeper. It has the potential, if it fills up, and you're mostly talking about tidal, of maybe flooding more in some other places. It's not a clear, it's going to flood more or it's going to flood less. The water's coming from both directions, depending on the storm. Okay, so I think she relayed it properly that there's, she said disagreement, I would say uncertainty about what that would do to increase the flooding. The flooding's increasing, of course, because the sea level's higher than it was 70 years ago, 60 years ago before it was dredged, and many of the storms are more intense and have more rain.
Further questions of Dr. Luckenbach from VIMS? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition to the project? You can have 3 minutes to rebut if you'd like, sir. Mr. Simon?
I'll try to be very brief on this. And in response to most of her objections, or the first half of her objections, they're mainly with Norfolk, City of Norfolk, and how they spend their tax revenue and what they put their projects on. As for flooding at the house, she mentioned that it's flooding more. I don't believe that dredging, shallow water dredging, is going to increase the flooding. I think flooding is a result of the storm surge that we have at the time. I don't see it as a result of shallow water dredging. The only studies I've ever seen on dredging effects on flooding have to do with deep water channels. I've not seen any so far on shallow water dredging, and that's what we're doing here. As for the city channel, the noise pollution, this is a channel that's going to be 15 or 20 feet wide. If anybody's riding back there on a jet ski, they're a fool. This is going to be definitely a no-wake zone, and mainly for the residents that are on it. It's also a dredging or a drainage project for the city because there are two big outfalls that feed this. One's at the head end of this, up by Mr. Stern's property, and one's over by Granby Street that feeds a little tributary that Ms. Stern's property is actually on. I don't believe she actually resides at the property. The house hasn't been resided in many years. Other than that, I think the project itself, as to the mitigation for the non-vegetated wetlands, This project has been mitigated for. The island was created for that purpose. The benthic community that was put, if there is one, in the mud that's at the head end of this canal has already been mitigated for the impacts. The city of Norfolk got approval to build the oyster reef in the wetland area. They have constructed it. They have assessed a mitigation rate and fee to all the homeowners that are on this project. So the question of whether there's value in the mud at the head end of this, it's already been mitigated for. We've mitigated for at the highest rate possible.
Okay. Any questions to follow up? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zetron.
As I understand it, this is up here on appeal. Is that right?
I know. That's what I heard, too. That's why I looked back through the paperwork. Ms. Peabody, correct. Give me the... Yeah.
The wetlands portion was approved at the Wetlands Board, and it was not appealed to us. This is an objection of our subaqueous permit.
Okay. Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Comment?
Yes, sir. Mr. Zetron.
You know, I think this project has been reviewed by the Wetlands Board, and as we just heard, been approved. I think staff has done an excellent job here trying to reach compromises here. You know, we talked about changing the route of the channel and that type of thing to mitigate the oysters. I think a lot of effort has gone into this project, and for that reason, I would move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Zetron to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Dr. Neal. Further discussion? The only thing I'll say is back again to the public trust doctrine that's mentioned in 28.2.12.05. As I read the public trust doctrine, one of the elements of that is the ability to warp out, and that's what these individuals are trying to do to try to benefit as riparian property owners, the opportunity to warp out to access the water, and I think that's not lost in the context of 28.2.12.05. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ms. Everett, opposition. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you all involved.